6th chapter, starting at the 8th verse. If you have your holy Bibles with you, will you stand with me when you are at Leviticus 6? There's something that's happening here. There's a teaching that is going on. There's some instruction here that we need to understand. I believe it was true for that day when Aaron and Moses stood before the altar of God and the very first sacrifice was slain and laid upon the brazen altar, and God's consuming fire came out, touched that altar, and from heaven a fire of God started on the altar of God. And I believe our hearts are still an altar to Him today, and that fire burns upon them. Here's what the Holy Word of God says in Leviticus, the 6th chapter, starting at verse 8. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his son, saying, this is a law for the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. The priest shall put on his linen robe and his linen undergarments on his body. Then he shall remove the ashes from the fire of the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments, and he shall bring the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. The fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out. The priest shall feed it with wood every morning. He will arrange the burnt offering on it, and he shall burn the fat of the peace offering on it. A perpetual fire shall be kept burning on the altar. It shall never go out." Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fire that burns upon the altar of our heart this morning, Lord God, that it shall never go out, Lord God, that you would fan those flames, that you would take the ashes, Lord God, of yesterday's burnt offering away, Lord God, that you would discard of them, Lord God, that you would fan with the fire, that mighty rushing wind, the embers, Lord God, as a wood is put upon them, and there would be a new fire each and every day, that we would walk in the newness of that fire. In Jesus' holy name, his people said, amen, amen and amen. As a military man, I look often to naval history or military history, and I love that 8 of our presidents in the past have been through the Naval Academy. I just want to put a plug in for the Naval Academy if I can. It's a great institution, and the United States Navy is a great institution. But one of our presidents you'll probably know. If you're too young to know much about him, you'll learn a little bit right here, right now about him. John F. Kennedy was a commander of a PT boat during World War II. President Kennedy was assassinated while in office. As a veteran, he was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. I remember the day watching on TV the carriage going down the road, and I remember seeing his son standing and saluting as a hearse went by. And I remember when they lit the eternal flame in Arlington National Cemetery in remembrance of our president who had fallen. And that flame still burns today. Arlington National Cemetery honors the life of a past fallen president by lighting a fire and a flame that'll never go out. How much more so should we accept the honor of the flame that God says will burn upon the altar and never go out? You see, it's important that we have an eternal flame to honor our past president, John F. Kennedy. It's good that we can look at that historically, but how much more so that God has an eternal flame that will never go out and that is be properly maintained. This is what I believe God wants to show us today. The Old Testament, the fire of God was contained on an altar of wood and stone, and we see it continuing throughout Old Testament history. There was great significance was given to the maintenance of the fire and the burnt offering because in the ancient Middle East, fire was first and foremost a symbol of God himself. Exodus 3 says, said God first revealed himself to Moses, it says, through a fire, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame out of the midst of the bush. Secondly, the fire is a symbol of God's presence. In Exodus 24 and 17 says, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Fire is a symbol of God's personal holiness. In Hebrews 12 and 29, we are cautioned by the writer. He says, for our God is a consuming fire. Fire is the instrument of God's power. In 1 Kings 18 and 30, it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the waters that were in the trench. When Elijah called down fire, it was consuming. We can trace a perpetuality of God's fire through the Old Testament. Isaiah 6 says God is a cleansing fire. Jeremiah 20 talks about God being the word of fire. Malachi 3 said God is a refiner's fire. And in some form or fashion, throughout thousands of years, the fire of God has been maintained in the earth. We read from Leviticus 6, but if you read in Leviticus 9, the very first sacrifice, the very first offering, Moses is teaching Aaron what to do in 6, but they are actually doing it in chapter 9. The very first sacrifice, they flail the cattle, they put the sheep upon the brazen altar, and there the fire of God comes down from heaven and consumes the first sacrifice. The altar fire was lit from heaven above, and it still is lit from heaven above today in your hearts and in mine. We need to continue maintaining God's holy fire. I want us to stir up the flame today. There's something we need to do, because sometimes those embers, they lay underneath the ashes, and it's a little bit hard for God to get to them. I want us to stir up the flames today, because it's right that we do so. Leviticus 6 and 13 says, a fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. God, in his great wisdom, transferred his holy fire from the altars of wood and stone to the altar of our flesh and our bone. He's transferred the fire into the very hearts of men today. And if the fire should never go out, then I would be like Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 when he says, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that you are that temple? That's where the fire burns. You are the temple that burns with his holy fire. Acts 2, 1 through 4 sums it up well. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And here we are today. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? I feel a mighty rushing wind coming upon the ashes of the old offering, blowing them away, kindling those embers, lighting them aflame again on the new wood that is cut and put upon the altar of your heart today. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you lay down your life a living sacrifice. That is that burnt offering. Laying down of your life a living sacrifice. It's holy and acceptable unto God. And it's a reasonable service to do this. I'm just getting ready to get into the message this morning. Glad for that introduction. Three imperatives to maintain if we're going to maintain the fire. Three imperatives to maintain the fire. We need to clean out the ashes. Verses 10 and 11 spoke to us about cleaning out the ashes. Verse 12 told us to put new wood upon the fire to cut fresh wood for the altar. Verse 13 talked about maintaining a continuous watch, a vigil through the night seasons, so that the fire would never go out. We need to get back to doing some things, not just in the house of the Lord, but in our private homes, in our private spaces. We need to learn how to clean out the ashes. We need to learn how to cut some fresh firewood and lay it upon the altar every day. We need to understand that we are called to maintain a continuous vigil through the night seasons. And sometimes that calling means you actually have to make a call. Call another watchman. Somebody else who will join in that vigil. Let's first look at the cleaning out of the ashes. I want to read to you 10 and 11, those two verses of scripture there in Leviticus 6. It says, "And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers. He shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place." I don't know about you, but I was glad when I got to a place in my life where I didn't have to revisit my past sin like it was a present effect upon my life. Like when I carried those ashes out, they were gone. They weren't coming back. Oh, there's a new daily sacrifice that goes upon that offer, but I take those ashes out each and every day. I don't think we understand the importance of the process of cleaning out the ashes as much as we should. He had to put on his priestly garments, and each and every one of us are called to be a priest unto God, a minister of reconciliation, one who is a priest of his own heart and his own home, his own clan, his own friend, relative, associates, and neighbors. We're called to this. So if we're going to put on these garments, we need to understand a few things. See, the fire of God needs the breath of God. I built enough campfires in my day to understand that when you build the campfire, sometimes the wood isn't as dry as you want. Sometimes it might be wet from the rain, or it might be wet from being green. But whatever it may be, you have to get down there and blow upon that fire. And the next thing you know, because of that breath, that fire gets kindled. And the embers glow a little bit hotter, and they burn a little bit more intense. And on that day, there was a mighty rushing wind that came through that cloven tongues as fire upon each one, and it blew, and there was a fire that raged in the hearts. And that's the same fire God desires in us today. The fire of God requires the breath of God being applied to it. There needs to be a mighty rushing wind. And if we're going to be in those priestly robes doing that sacrifice at the burnt offering, then we must have this. It's interesting, because when you clean out the ashes, we remove the burden of past sin from our life. And honestly, I would say this, I say it so often, but I say it again here. If God has forgiven you, then you need to forgive you. If God has forgiven you, then you need to forgive you. Matthew Henry, that theologian from way back, in his commentary, he wrote it in 1714, said this about this whole thing right here. He said, "And some think that this care which was taken of the ashes of the sacrifice typified the burial of our Savior, his dead body, and the ashes of his sacrifice were carefully laid up in a garden, in a new sepulcher, which was a clean place." Can we get a hold of the thought that when we dress in our priestly garments, and we tend to that altar, and we take the ashes, and we put them into that can, and we set that can, that we're getting ready to get rid of that, to put them into a clean place. I don't think we truly quite understand all of it, and I want to explain just a little bit, because in the temple in Jerusalem, when the priests were doing this, they were required to take the ashes and set them as far away from the temple. That would have been towards the east gate. They would have had to put them on the side of the burnt, of the brazen altar that was towards the eastern gate. The temple was behind them, their ashes were before them, and the gate was right there. Those ashes were never to go back into the life of the believer. Never back into the life of God. They were gone. It was a clean place. And Jesus Christ, when He washes you in His precious blood and He makes you new, you are clean and made whole. You are new, and there is nothing that needs to be restored. You are made whole in His image at that moment. It's interesting. There's too many of us. We want to carry the ashes around with that sacrifice on the altar. And if you have ashes on top of the embers, I'll guarantee you the wind, the breath of God's not going to blow on those embers. It's going to blow on the ashes. If you've ever blown into a fire and had the ashes come out, you know they get all over everything. Sometimes in my face, my eyes, sometimes you inhale a couple. I mean, it's just a mess. They go all over your clothes, over other people around the campfire that are sitting there, with into your food if you're cooking on the campfire. It just makes a mess. It goes everywhere. That's what the ashes do. And sometimes that's what we do in our life with our past sin. We spread it all over everybody else like somehow it's going to help. If they look bad too, we might look better. Not what God wants. He wants to breathe His life onto those embers. But He wants all the ashes gone before He ever breathes. We need to set them on the other side of the altar. And we need to make sure that we're not carrying them anymore. 11 and 28 of Matthew says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Today, we make the burden light by taking the ashes out of the temple. They weren't meant to be stored in front of the altar. They were meant to go out the door of the altar. They are not meant to be retained in your life. They are meant to go out from your life, never to come back. Some people don't understand temple worship. Let me explain it to you just a little bit. See, the daily removal of the ashes would take place every morning. He would have to put on his priestly robes, take the ashes, put them in front of the brazen altar, go change his robes, and when Jesus Christ washes you in His blood, you are robed in the wedding gown for the feast of the Lamb of God. And here you would come out again, and you would take those ashes, carry them out the gate, and they would go specifically to the Kidron River, right there in the valley in front of Jerusalem. And there they would throw the ashes in. Now, I know practically that's a great move. Because sometimes in ashes, you got some embers, right? And you could start a fire. Well, let's put it in the river, boys. That's a smart move, practically. It's a good move. I think the priest had a little bit of this going on. But I think God had something better going on. See, you don't understand. The Kidron River, do you know where it flows to? Flows to the Dead Sea. The Kidron River flows to the Dead Sea. When you dump those ashes in the Kidron River, it cleanses and washes them away, and they are never heard from again. They are dead! Gone! And you put on a new garment before you ever took them out. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're dancing all the way back in through that eastern gate. When Jesus rose from the grave, they laid Him in the tomb, and representation of taking the ashes out. Yeah, our sin, he bore it upon that cross, all of our iniquity. But when he died, so did our sin. But when he rose from the grave, our sin was still dead. He rose holy and righteous, and so are we when we're made new in his image. Let us look at the fresh wood for the altar. We're to cut fresh wood for the altar. Fresh wood will ignite the dying embers in our lives. We must always strive to have a fresh anointing, a fresh praise upon our lips, or a fresh word from the Holy Word of God. We can't live without those things being present in our lives. We need to access His Holy Word. We need to be getting a fresh word from Him every day, every morning. Putting that fresh wood. If you take wood long enough, I know some people worked in the wood industry around here. If you take wood long enough and you work it hard enough, it'll turn to pulp. Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't recommend going out in the backyard taking an axe and trying to turn that log into pulp. But you work wood long enough, you work it hard enough, it'll turn into pulp. And it'll turn pulp into pages. And the Holy Word of God is that wood that we need to be taking in each and every day. We need to be putting it upon that altar of our heart. We need to hide a word. Lord God, give me a fresh word today. Lord God, give me a fresh praise upon my lips from your holy word coming alive in my life. God, give me a holy anointing, Lord God, for whoever I meet today. Just give me a word in my heart that I might give and transfer. You can't give what you don't own. If you want to speak life into somebody, you better seek life every morning. You put a new piece of wood upon that fire of your altar. Oh, in the Old Testament, it was wood and stone, but in the New Testament, it's flesh and bone, the altar of God. The priest himself must not only kindle the fire, but he had to clean the hearth and carry out the ashes. It's interesting because, you know, it says in Leviticus 6 and 12, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. There's really no labor, no work below the office of a priest. There's no labor, there's no work below the office of any believer. There's no labor, no work below the office of any servant of God. Each one of us, there's nothing below what God could ask us to do. It all should be a joy for us to embrace and to do. And if He wants me to carry out dirty, filthy ashes every morning, then it is my job and my joy to carry out those ashes and rekindle the wood upon that fire. There is no job underneath me as a priest to the King of Kings. There is nothing underneath me, underneath you, except the sin of this world. That is the only thing underneath us. All else we should embrace as servants of the Most High King. I'm intrigued by the fact that this fire was never to go out. How much did they tend that, and what heart did they attend to it when they knew and saw the fire of God consume the first offering? Maybe they had not seen it, but their father had, or their grandfather, or the one before him, and they knew that is God's fire upon that altar. No man lit that fire. God Almighty reached out and consumed that sacrifice. God Almighty still reaches out and consumes us when we lay our life down, a living sacrifice upon the altar. So, the priests were required to do a little bit of work. We're still required to do a little bit of work, aren't we? Maintaining a continuous vigil through the night seasons. It's the last imperative that I think we need to have if we're going to do these things to keep that fire going. Maintaining a continuous vigil through the night seasons. I don't know about you, but I like my sleep. I mean, you know, you can call pastor after 9 o'clock, but I don't know if I'll answer. I may be so out to the world. It's not that I don't want to answer. It's just that the Navy taught me well. When I got on board my first naval ship, it was an aircraft carrier. And they put me one deck underneath the arresting gear. So on the back of the aft end of the ship were four cables. And those cables would come out in big sheaths. Underneath our berthing was those sheaths. Those sheaths were about as long as this room is wide, and all they had was just a whole bunch of, it was like a block and tackle system is all it was. And so they had big metal wheels and the coils, and it would pull out that cable. And that cable was about year-round. It was pretty big. And that airplane at 19 tons or whatever would catch it, and that cable would be pulled out. So on top of you, you had 19 tons crashing down, and below you, you had all this cable going. Try to sleep through that. I did. I slept well. I mean, you know, they worked you hard. You were out in some hot areas and the whole bit. But I could go to sleep anywhere, guys. It doesn't bother me. I'll sleep standing up. It really doesn't. When it's time for me to sleep, I will sleep. I like my sleep. It's hard to keep a continuous night vigil, isn't it? It's hard. The only way I can really successfully do it, and I have done it, is because of the grace and the mercy of God. The Spirit of God being so passionate within us that it overcomes any of my fleshly desire. And it drives me to do what I'm called to do. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. So we have to form a system of watchmen. I don't think it was in the beginning of the watch that the watchman had a problem. There were a lot of miracles that happened while they were in temple worship, okay? There was all kinds of them. One of them was there was never any snake bites or scorpion bites. That's interesting for in a desert area, especially with all the entrails and other things laying around that were there. There just weren't the bugs. Isn't that interesting? That was a miracle of God, and or so the Levites wrote about. The other thing is the fire upon the altar, the smoke from it always went straight up. The wind never affected it, never pushed it to the left or to the right. It never came down. It always went straight up. So the night watchman could have been up on the wall. The Levite could have been down in the court, and the watchmen's are walking the wall. Need a lot of people in prayer sometimes at night. They didn't need to see the Levite tending to the fire. They just needed to see that the smoke was still going straight up. They had trumpets. They could blare those things. They could give a clarion call that would bring them in the moments. It wasn't the beginning of the watch. It was the end of the watch that was the hardest time. I don't know about you, but I've done these all nights of prayers and things like this. And the first few hours are always fun. They're always fabulous. And everybody's excited. But then the few start to head home. And the faithful few kind of remain. And before you know it, the early morning hours come. And we know that it's always darkest before the dawn. It's the hardest time to keep the watchman on watch. Now, in the United States military, if you're found as a sentry sleeping in a time of war, it could mean death. Underneath the Uniform Code of Military Justice, death sentence is a viable option for sleeping as a sentry on guard in a war zone. Because other men's and women's lives depend upon that. How much more so if we fall asleep as a watchman on the wall? When God said the fire is to never go out, how much more so is it important that we do that today? I know it's darkest before the dawn, the weakest moment, when the most woundedness, when the most hurting, when those who are barely surviving those moments in great stress and turmoil come, it's the darkest hour before the dawning of the day. I understand that, and we often feel isolated. We often feel alone, but that is when God's Spirit is there, the greatest of all. I have known these times. I have seen these places, and I know that God is getting ready to move. That's when we make the clarion call. That's when the watchmen rally the forces. That's when they come down and they stir those embers and they put the wood upon the fire. During the night seasons of your life, you need to call upon the watchman. You're not out there alone. Nor was a Levite who was tending the fire. Easiest way to keep a continuous vigil is to have some contagious people around you. Can I have the worship team, please? And would you stand with me in this sanctuary today? You see, I believe God's getting ready to do something today. This is a different message for a different time. I think there's something going on in so many lives. Maybe the ashes have been keeping the embers from really glowing and keeping the breath of God from blowing that mighty rushing wind upon those embers. It may be time to take the ashes out. It may be time to say, you know what? I'm going to that altar. I'm going to change my robe right now. It's time for me to take those ashes out. I don't live in the past. They don't affect my present. I am a child of God, and I'm going to put them in the Kidron River, and I'm going to walk those ashes down there, watch them go into the Dead Sea. I would really ask, is your fire burning? Is your fire burning? Because you're a Levite of your altar, and I can't tend your fire like you can. Is your fire burning? And if the answer is, well, no, not as well as it could or should, then it's time to take that walk to the Kidron River. All I'm going to say is this. If you feel like you need to take a walk down the Kidron River and carry out those ashes this morning, I'm going to ask some watchmen around you to help you carry those ashes. I don't want just one or some up here at this altar this morning. I believe this message is timely and it's for all people. I believe whether you need to carry ashes out or whether you need to have someone help you, have the watchman of the wall come. This is a time for us to rally the forces. We're getting ready to send a team to the Bahamas. There's a restoration that's getting ready to happen there. The devil came through there with a hurricane. 200 mile an hour winds devastated the families. The church we're going to build is gone. We think hurricane. Most of the damage was done by the tornadoes in the eye of the hurricane. That's why the outlying islands survived. But Abaco is devastated. The eye went completely right over it. And the tornadoes, there were tens of them in the eye of the hurricane. Just popped every building. Boom, 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 boom. God wants to provide restoration. It's not just about restoring that church, building back up. What about the lives going? What about the ones going on that trip? What about the ones here praying? What about the watchmen on the wall? What about the ones down there that will speak into their lives? What about the people along the way, the stewardesses, the airline pilots? What about all the people along the way? I believe there's going to be a glory cloud left behind that mission team. There's going to be a fire of God in their hearts that burns so heavily that all will have known Can we assist you in taking out your ashes? Can you assist someone else this morning? Do you need assistance fanning the flames? Do you want the breath of God to breathe into your life? Do you desire that mighty rushing wind to come down, cloven tongues like as fire, and to be baptized fresh and anew? Maybe that baptism happened. Maybe it was years ago. But today is a fresh anointing for a fresh day. Maybe you've never been baptized before in the Holy Spirit. God has something special for you. Will you place some fresh wood upon that fire, the altar of your heart? If that's you today, then I simply say, come. Come this morning. Let us fan those flames. Let us feed that fire. Come. Join me at this altar.